during the messy church service. Pastoral news. Margaret Blake has died. There will be a beetle drive here on the 12th of May between 4 and 6. It's the easiest game to play. Everyone can be included, regardless of age, ability, or home language. So do put it in your diary. Last week I mentioned that a member of the church would like some empty jam jars to make some jam. And she's asked me to remind you that she'd still like those jam jars, and they will be placed in Leslie's vestry. There's a box there. And finally, Ray would like to say something.
One, two, three. That's enough. Leslie suggested I do the notice in dance. But rather than that, in 2 weeks' time, it is Christian Aid Week. Does it happen by itself?
No!
How can we make it a success? Get help. If you can help, please speak to me. There's less than 2 weeks to go. So I need people to come out in groups. It's easier in groups. I go out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, knocking on doors. It's very easy, 2 hours. And if you can help me, please speak to me. And I come out on one of those evenings that you can help on. I need people to drop off envelopes. And we also need people to rattle tins on the 19th from 10 o'clock down here till about 3 or 4. And also on the 19th, we have the market stall. And the market stall takes place in the centre of Kingston, in the marketplace, in front of the church, and we have to provide jams and preserves. And this year, it's been requested that if you make, jams, preserves and cakes, and if you make anything, could you please write on what is in it? Thank you very much. So 2 weeks' time, Christian Aid Week, I'm looking for help. If you're able-bodied, please speak to me and please come around the door sometime. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. We begin our service by saying together the words of the Magnificat, which will be on the screen. I'll say the words in the light script. Would you join in the words in the heavy script? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. The Lord has shown the strength with his arm, and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones, and lifting up the lowly.
God has filled the hungry with good things,
He has come to the aid of his servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy. Right, well, that called me out anyhow. let's join to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us join to pray. Christ, through whom all things were made, sustain all creation. Christ, exalted in the lowest and the least, give us humility. Christ, present in the poor and the oppressed, fill us with compassion. Christ, forsaken in the hungry and the homeless, minister to them through our hands. Christ, present where two or three are gathered, be known among us. Christ, present in word, sacrament, and sign, grant us your peace. Amen. O God, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and all our thoughts may give you glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join to say the Lord's Prayer using whichever our language is most comfortable for us. Our Father, who art in heaven. Sally is going to lead us in the children's address.
Good morning. Good morning. Today we're going to have a quiz, okay? Hoping some of the questions will be quite easy for you all. Some will be a bit trickier, and some might even be a little bit controversial. And I think if the children are struggling a little bit, we might ask the grown-ups to help as well. Now, it's perfectly easy. In a moment, you're going to see some fruit come up on the screen. And all you've got to do is tell me the name of the fruit. Okay? Easy peasy. What is it? An apple. It is an apple. Well done. Right. False sense of security there. No. Next one, please, Bron. What's that? Strawberries. Who likes strawberries? Love the Jack. Do you like strawberries? Yes. What's the next one? Avocados are nice, Sophia. Very. You hate avocados. In a recent survey in a newspaper, which shall remain nameless, there were lots of foods that people didn't think were fruit. People got very confused between fruit and vegetables, and this was one of those things. People thought an avocado was a vegetable. It's a fruit. Yeah. So let's go on. What's this? Ah. Cucumber? No, it's not a cucumber. Banana? No, sushi. Can I have some serious, sensible answers from the grown-ups? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Watermelon? No, Sophie? Cake, you wish. It's okra, or okra, which I've only had once, and it was really mushy and... Yeah, right. Charltons, I'm coming to your house. You can cook me in a curry house. Again, people didn't realise that okra, strictly speaking, is a fruit. Looks like a vegetable to me. It does look like cucumber or something like that, doesn't it? Okay, next one, please. What's that? Mango, one of my favourite fruits. Next one. What's that? Tomato. Again, people think that a tomato is a vegetable. It's not. It's not. Well, we could talk about what's a fruit, what's a vegetable afterwards, but it's got lots of seeds in, and apparently that makes it a fruit. Apparently. Next one. Okra. That's cucumber, isn't it? That is a cucumber. Lovely. Got that in my sandwiches today. What's that? Grapes. Well done. And the next one. Not raisins. Have another guess. Sultanas. Tricked you with that one, I think. Tricked you. Sultanas. Yeah. And is that the last one? Oh, no. It's not an orange, and it's not a tangerine. Have another guess. Lemons? No, not lemons. We'll ask the grown-ups. What do the grown-ups think it is? Liz Bartlett's got the answer. It's a kumquat. Much, much smaller, quite sour. Kumquat. Okay? And is that it? I can't remember what I put up. Why am I telling you about fruit? Because I want to, yes. Because one day, well, on several occasions, Jesus said, I want you to go out into the world and bear fruit. Does that mean we need to plant dahi in some soil and wait for her to produce some oranges and lemons? No, it doesn't. When Jesus talked about fruit, he was thinking about who we are as people. And when we show love, or joy, or peace, or patience, all those lovely things, he calls that fruit. And that's what you're going to learn about today. He said you've got to go out and bear a very different type of fruit. He called it fruit, which is a bit weird, because we think about oranges and bananas, don't we? But he's talking about love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and humility. All those kinds of things that make us more like him. Right, we are going to sing. And again, I've forgotten what we're going to sing.
Sorry. Come down, O love divine.
Come down, O love divine. Sorry.
Thank you.
this point, the children and their teachers leave for their own classes, and they go with our thoughts and our support. Our first reading comes from 1 John, and it's going to be read to us by John Watts.
This reading is taken from the first letter of John in the fourth chapter, beginning to read at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world, so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. We are sure that we live in union with God, and that he lives in union with us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone declares that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and those who live in love live in union with God, and God lives in union with them. Love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on Judgment Day. And we will have it because our life in this world is the same as Christ's. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. Go then. Love has not been made perfect in anyone who is afraid, because fear has to do with punishment. We love because God first loved us. If we say we love God but hate our brothers and sisters, we are liars. For people cannot love God whom they have not seen, if they do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen. The command that Christ has given us is this: that all who love God must love their brother or sister also. Amen.
Sue Watts is going to read our second lesson, which comes from the Gospel of John.
The reading is taken from John chapter 15. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Jesus tells us who he is and what he can be for us by identifying himself with the fundamental needs of human beings: water, bread, light in darkness, and a shepherd to guide us and protect us. And in his gospel, John records how Jesus used the images of the Old Testament, which were the scriptures known by his hearers, to tell us who he is and what he can do for us. So we have a series of passages beginning with the words, "I am." In John 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry." And that image recalled for the Israelites the story of the mysterious bread, the manna, which fell from heaven to the starving Israelites in the desert. But Jesus immediately distinguishes himself from that bread. "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. The Israelites ate the manna, but they died. If anyone eats the bread which I give, they will live forever." And the second great commandment, "I am," is a statement in John 8 where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." And this is followed in John 10 with the statement, "I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep." And the good shepherd is contrasted with the thief who comes to steal, or the hired person who runs away when the wolf is coming. And today we have the teaching of Jesus which begins with another "I am" statement. "I am the true vine." And this is quite different from the earlier statements. All the earlier "I am" statements were about Jesus alone. Here there are two persons at work. Jesus sets out the relationship of his work to what God is doing. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." In the image of the vineyard, there are two agencies involved with us: the vine, who is Jesus, and the vine grower, who is his Father. And later in the gospel passage, when we come to the words, "Abide in me," we inevitably think about how our spiritual life is dependent on the third person, the Spirit, who leads us on the way we have learned from Christ. It's not at all an accident that Jesus says not just that he is the vine, but that he is the true vine. In the Old Testament, The vine was a national, even a nationalistic concept. For example, in Psalm 80, we read the words, "You brought a grapevine out of Egypt, you drove out other nations and planted it in their land." By contrast, Jesus is talking about the true vine, the true people of God, identified not with the nation Israel, but with himself. The people of God are those who belong to the true vine. They are accountable not to any human institution, but to God. They are the people who recognize in Jesus the true light, who follow him as the true shepherd, and look to him for the bread of life. And it follows that not everyone belongs to the true vine. The account of the vine has a lot to say about pruning and cleansing. For Jesus, acceptance of God is not unconditional. The first lesson says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. God is love. Can we then simply say that love is God? No, we cannot. The concept of God is much more than the equivalence of love. Love and God are not synonymous or interchangeable words. Christian love is not like, for example, the Buddhist concept of the elimination of selfish distractions to create a space for loving. Our God is one who calls us to intervene, a God who gives us the gift of anger, for example, about the Windrush saga, and makes us ashamed for what has been done in our name. A God to whom I was not accountable would not be God and would not enable me to live a human life. And this was spelt out to me recently by the words of Amber Lavanam Silvanandam, the legendary director of the Institute of the Race Relations. He died in January. And the New Statesman in 1991 had called on prominent figures to write a letter to God in its 1991 Christmas letter. And Silver had been, I'm not taking the risk of saying his whole name all the way through. Silver had been raised as a Hindu. He had lived in a Buddhist society, and he was educated by Catholics. And this is what he wrote in his letter to God. It is that sense of self-determination, self-belief, the authority over myself, the sense of being my own author, that has taken your place. But of course, it frightens the hell out of me. For there is no adjudicator except myself. There is no one who can forgive me except myself. No one who can excoriate me, absolve me, lift me up again except myself. And those words remind us of the words of Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Silver's letter goes to the heart of our belief in the existence of the God whom we worship, not a vague, benevolent deity, but a presence to whom we are accountable. Jesus' image of the place where we live as a vineyard enables us to understand the various ways in which we experience God. Jesus himself is the vine. His words, teaching, and his life of sacrifice is the way in which we are related to God. The true vine is to be found not in Israel, but in Jesus, the Messiah. And the shedding of his blood, the fruit of the vine, made possible the coming to existence of the true people of God. We are those members. We are what we are, not by reason of our physical descent, but by reason of our abiding in him. Jesus, the vine, is wider than the span of his human life. He encompasses the eternal wisdom of the Christ, who embodies the eternal values which always existed outside space and outside time. And if you look at the cross up there, you will see on it a number of symbols engraved which relate to the incorporation in the revelation of Jesus, the wisdom of the nations. Jesus said, "My Father is the vine dresser." The vine dresser is the visual image of the human experience of finding that there is someone who intervenes in our life. In the life of the Spirit, we find ourselves challenged. We find ourselves called to repent. We find that we are taken over by a conviction that we should change course, or that we should set aside distractions. This is the God identified by silver, the God who can forgive me, excoriate me, absolve me, and lift me up again. The New Testament says that being in the hands of the living God is a fearful experience, but it is the essential source of spiritual life. And finally, the vineyard, the place where we live, is the place where the Spirit travels alongside us. It enables us to see who we are and enables us to be true to what we are continuously beginning to learn about Christ. That is what is involved in abiding with him. I struggle with the gospel for today. It contained far more than I can say, and I want to end by giving it a chance to speak directly by reading it again, so that its simplicity and profoundness can have a chance to speak for itself without me getting in the way. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Amen. We join to sing hymn 449, O true life-giving vine, let me your sweetness prove. By your life strengthen mine, refresh my soul with love. I hunger and I thirst. We join in our prayers for ourselves, for our friends and families, for the place where we live, for our country, and for the whole world. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for you are gracious. You have loved us from the beginning of time, and you remember us in times of trouble and of joy. We thank you, O God, for you came to us in Jesus Christ, who has redeemed the world and saves us from our sins. We thank you, O God, for you have sent your Holy Spirit, who comforts us and leads us into all truth. So we pray to you for all people everywhere according to their need. We pray for the Church of Christ throughout the world. We pray for the unity of all Christians, for the fulfillment of their mission, for all ministers and servants of the gospel, for all Christians here in Kingston. We pray especially for this church, that we may be strengthened in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, we pray to you for all the nations and peoples of the world, for all who serve the common good, for our own country and government, for all in authority. Give wisdom to all in authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you those who we know and love. People in the local community. Our families and our friends. We name before you those who are on our hearts this week. Give grace to us, to our families and friends, and to all our neighbours, and to those whom we have named in the silence before you. Give us grace that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy. We bring before you all who suffer, all who are sick, those who are mourning. People who have no faith. And those who sacrificially serve people in need. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles. and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember before you all who have died, giving thanks especially for those who have died in the faith of Christ. I give thanks especially for someone called Jean Martin, who came from Jamaica in 1960 and has died at the age of 95. She spent all her life supporting the black community in North Kensington, working with older people and with also children in primary schools. So we give thanks to you, Lord, for all those who have died in the faith of Christ. We commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as we receive our offering. Bring before you these tokens of our commitment to your service. Give us strength to serve you further and to express your love in what we do and what we say this week and always. Amen. We join to sing, Great God, your love has called us here, as we by love for love were made.
Thank you.
Sally and team, you've got things to show us, I think. Come up here, that's right. You'll see better. Right. Try to come round this way, then you can see. People can see you better. Right. Okay.
So we've been talking about how we are the vine, and it stands to us with Jesus' love following God, and we will grow. Right. Like the vine,
okay.
We can grow and develop, and this is shown how we develop into the tree. just a couple of aspects
Well done. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. And as we leave, we say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.